All right. Welcome to Shabbat Lounge. We appreciate you listening and joining us today. This is Matt, joined in studio with
Jake.
And we appreciate you coming along for the ride with us today. And as always, we appreciate any comments, likes, subscribes. We appreciate all of those who have gone in and done those things and given us 5-star reviews in iTunes, but we're in other places like Podbean and Spotify and YouTube, and we have a website called Shabbat Lounge. You can find us all over the place, and a Twitter account and a Facebook account.
All over the socials and the interwebs.
And just new, a TikTok.
Ooh.
So I'm venturing into that. So, but anyway, we appreciate you stopping by.
And stay tuned for more.
Well, Jake and I are coming to you live in studio. Hey, Jake.
Hey, Matt.
Well, this is Passover, and we are kind of in the middle of that time of year in the spring feast, and we've done Passover, really, and now we're in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and we have gotten rid of all the leaven from our house, and we are eating lots of matzah. And, you know, do you have any great matzah recipes?
No.
No.
My wife might. Yeah. I think it's olive oil and flour or something, and water.
Yes.
Something like that.
I should know. So,
you should.
Yes. Right. So last night, in part of our shelter and quarantine in place, my daughter had a great idea of everyone, and you can use this, by the way, to entertain yourselves, and she had all of us create a PowerPoint. And, you know, there weren't many rules to it, you know, because I ask a lot of questions. I'm like, does this have to have words? And nobody gave me any answers, so I did a PowerPoint with just pictures, pretty much. And threw it up there. And so everyone had a different PowerPoint that they did. And then we put everyone's name in a hat. And then we drew a name out of a hat. And you had to present their PowerPoint. And you had never seen it before.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting and fun. It was definitely fun.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like impromptu speaking in a way.
Yeah.
So. And you had no idea what you're about to talk about. And
the people, one thing people hate more than death.
Yes. And
that's what
yes.
we did for fun.
And our group seems to think it's fun. So I don't know what that says about us. Maybe that means we talk a lot.
All good things.
Yes, all good things. So if your family's up for some adventure and tired of looking at the same four walls and doing the same stuff, I suggest you give that a try. It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
So, and so that's what we did. And I did a presentation on somebody else had made about how to make matzah. And so anyway.
There's the tie-in.
Eventually, we will come back around and chase our tail until we're back to the full.
Stick around long enough.
Yes.
You'll hear something that makes
always
sense.
Always comes back. But today, we find ourselves in this world where all our idols have disappeared. And, you know, basketball went away, all forms of basketball, from NBA to NHL, you know, the sports world was kind of mourning the loss the other day of not being able to watch the College National March Madness basketball championship. And all of those things went away. NASCAR, golf, the actors, the movies have been shut down, the concerts, you know, it's kind of interesting to think about. All of those idols have just been shut down, and I do believe this is from the Father. You know, he's tired of the nonsense, and he, I would do believe that that he did this, and so it's no coincidence that it's occurring when Passover occurs. The shutdown has stopped all the Easter madness, the Easter egg hunts, and the other very pagan traditions that many of us have done in the name of Christianity. They're really a mockery of what Yahuwah wants us to be doing. The world has been interestingly shut down about the time of Easter and Passover. And so Passover was meant to be eaten inside the safety of your home with your sandals on and basically kind of like a go bag ready in essence. And I saw some people even put on social media or the as the young people like to say these days.
So. Are they saying that now?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. On the Soch. I'm going to share that on the Soch.
Okay.
So,
I will not participate.
I'm sure there are many of you that just cringed greatly when you heard me say that.
Yes.
And that's why I said that.
Many of us.
Yes. And so anyway. So, Jake, you had some interesting notes and some thoughts, I think, about this.
Well, I just think, I thought when this was coming up, I was like, we should do something on, like, bugging out Hebrew style. Because they were really the first bugger outers, if that's a thing. It says in Exodus 12:11, "And thus shall you eat it with your loins," talking about the lamb, "with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is Yahweh's Passover." So they're eating it in haste because they don't know when they're going to be called to leave. They're eating it with their bag on their back, their staff in their hand, and their belt on, and their shoes on, and they're like, I just picture them like watching the door. As they're putting this food in their mouth, like, okay, are we going? Are we going? And so I think that's pretty interesting that he has them do that. And then, so for all the people that were, like, making fun of preppers, once this calamity has struck the world today, now those preppers don't seem so crazy, right?
That's right.
Like, oh, you stored food. It's like that.
You had toilet paper.
Right? Who would have thought that would have been the hot commodity?
Have you tried to find toilet paper?
It's impossible.
I'm like, who is finding it? And
I think you have to be the old people to go to the old people time.
Yeah.
Shopping.
I guess.
And then they go collect it all. Apparently.
I guess they just have storehouses and like they filled up their living room. You know the room that has all the plastic on it. It is now like wall-to-wall toilet paper. You can't even get in there.
That would be fantastic to see.
I think they're making toilet paper forts out of it. You know, they're going back to their roots of, you know, being a child. And so we're going to go into these people's houses. And, you know, Grandma has made a big elaborate fort and a castle. And she's, like, living in it.
Send us your pictures of that.
Yes. We want to see pictures of toilet paper. Wait a minute.
Maybe Grandma not. Surrounded by toilet paper.
We want to see the white, clean, brand new, unopened packages.
Yes. Stacked like forts.
Yes.
Anyway.
But it does make you wonder, where is it all going? Who's using it? What are people? Are people? Man, people must be really sick.
Right.
There's some bad stuff going around.
Right.
Where you just have to have this all the time. I don't know.
Yeah, someone should be talking about that disease, because that is not the disease that everyone's talking about.
Because it seems to be pretty bad.
Yeah. And the one thing I thought about that, all right, last thing on the toilet paper for Granulin. I know everyone's talking toilet paper, but to me, that kind of shows where the hitch is in our supply lines. It's everything else we can get. It's the toilet paper. Someone really fell down on the job creating the supply lines for toilet paper. That's what I learned from this experience.
Yeah, so you feel like there's a meme out there somewhere that's like, you had one job.
Yeah. Yeah, the you had one job meme. But anyway, we didn't come here to talk about that. Matt might have. I did. I don't know. Anyway, so we had... So it tells you, eat this Passover meal in haste and be ready to walk out the door. And so that's what we do. You know, we get our bug out bags, and we look forward to, I don't know about you, we look forward to this every year. Is okay, Passover is coming, get your bug out bag ready. You know, go through and purge all the old stuff that you haven't used in the past year, and maybe make sure it's up to par, kind of. In this case, it's like, okay, we're seeing some different things happen. Like, this might be what you bug out for, kind of situation. And let's admit that if we're talking a second Exodus, there's no bugging in for a second Exodus. everyone's bugging out at that point. But so we go through our bags, make sure we have all our stuff, and you know, we have them for the kids, which is awesome. And they got to do, before it was, we were carrying all their stuff too because they were little. This year they got their own little bags and their own, they got to fill their own bags, which they loved. It was fantastic watching them do that. And then we eat.
Were there any paper airplanes involved?
No.
Or frogs?
No.
Or gummy frogs?
Not in the bug out bags, but there, that was part of the other activities.
What about horses? Were there any horses involved in the bug outs?
Ellie wants the horses to carry her bug out bag.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm sure that's going to work out well.
We'll see. I mean, because we all know that at Jake's house, it's overrun with horses.
Yes.
So
stuffed horses.
Yeah.
They're not going to carry you very far.
Yeah. So we did that, and we eat our Passover with our bags on and our shoes on and our staff and all this stuff, and like ready to go. And so we look forward to that every year. And I just think that's cool that it makes it fun. It's fun because you're remembering what they did. And when there's a real, when you see the element of this could really be something we have to do. And so it's not just you're just doing it for fun. It's something useful, you know. So being able to see that, especially this year with all the things going on, it's been neat. And then, you know. So
well, it really puts meat on the bones of this thing, I guess, if you will, of this is an appointed time with the Father. This is a time specifically that he said, put this on your calendar, meet me here. There's a significance to it, and that makes sense what you're saying. So
yeah. And so just to encourage folks to try it. Do the bug out bag thing and have a bit of supplies ready that you would need. I mean, the main thing in my bag is fire starting. I got like 10 different fire starting methods. But who knows? You may never even need that. It all depends. We don't really know exactly how the second Exodus will actually play out. But to me, it seems... Well, I know that's more of a Sukkot kind of event to talk about Second Exodus, but to me, it feels more like a Passover discussion because that's when these guys started, you know, bugging out for their Exodus. It was at Passover. So I think now is a good time to be thinking about that.
And yeah, for sure.
So just have some basic supplies, things, you know, that can get you through to the next stage.
Well, I think what this current world event is showing us is that just in general, it is prudent to be prepared. Just like the wise virgins who had oil in their lamp.
Yes.
It's the same concept, you know, of being prepared for the unknown. And but on to take a slightly contrarian opinion to what you're saying, and I agree and I fully support, you know, what you did there and with your children, and you know, that we have to make these things fun and interesting for our children if we want them to grow up and do these things. I believe, you know, that's part of our jobs as adults and parents. And but when I look at these accounts, I also believe in the greater Exodus that he's going to show us what we need, just like he showed them what they need. You know, I don't think they were overly prepared. I don't think that they, but yes, there is an element to what you're saying. You know, you had to, they had to prepare somewhat, you know, because
yeah,
they took animals with them and they had to have some kind of organization and some thought about, but about what they could take. But you know, they just took all the things they had, and as they're basically going out the door, the Egyptians are going, here, take these, take
yeah,
this gold, Yeah. Like my earrings, the silver, this whatever. I don't need it. I don't want it. You know, maybe. But it is an interesting concept for sure. And I do believe in the, just like them in the greater Exodus, he's going to provide for our needs. And so, you know, there is a fine line between being good old American reliance, pull myself up by my bootstraps. I don't need anybody.
Right.
You know, concept. And I think sometimes the prepping world can fall into that a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think there is a balance there.
Yeah, you can't go crazy with it. I mean, you're still relying on Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. But I do think there are a lot of people out there that are just like, I've got the biggest and baddest gun. Come and get it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the wrong attitude.
And you will be dead.
Yeah, I have actually had people tell me, he's like, yeah, I'm pretty sneaky, and I've just listened to all these people and found out about all the stuff they have, and I know where they live, and if I need something, I will go get it, and I know I can do it.
That's great.
Is that passive-aggressive? I think so.
I think that's aggressive-aggressive.
Yes, maybe so.
No, no, but that, it reminds me of the, what was the series of, it was like the short series of, oh, the Twilight Zone. It reminds me of the Twilight Zone episode where the guy has the underground bunker, and it's like back in like, the Russians are gonna bomb us with nukes, and he's like telling his neighbors, hey, I got this bunker, and they're like laughing at him and picking on him, and then they leave, and then the siren blares, and they're like over pounding on his door, let us in your bunker, and then they kick him out and steal his bunker. Don't be the mob throwing people out of their bunkers. But yeah, and back to your point, I think the back then they probably had a lot less stuff that they would accumulate, so it was easy to like grab a couple things and leave. Whereas today we got to kind of filter out, okay, I don't need my bookshelf, but this knife I'll probably take with me, you know, something like that. But, and they were expected to do things themselves in the wilderness too. They had to, if you think of the manna that they had to, it says bake or seethe it, right? Bake or boil it. They had to be able to make a fire.
Gather it.
Yeah. They had to be able to make a fire, and that kind of thing.
Gather
which
firewood.
People don't know how to do these days. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, so that was just kind of my thought on these guys were bugging out, and I think it's kind of interesting.
And then I think the important, you know, for me, with the way I take it is, and we have to start preparing our minds for breaking away from what we know.
Yeah.
And it's no different than these Egyptians. They were breaking away from the things they knew. And clearly, you know, when they're in the desert for a little while, they're like, why couldn't we go back to Egypt where we had it so good? And, you know, it just didn't take them long to be right there complaining. And I think that's the place where we're going to find ourselves is being in an uncomfortable position. And I think these events happening right now are preparing us for some uncomfortableness.
Yeah.
And they're kind of warning shots. Going, hey, you better be prepared. You need to be realizing that this world is not your home. You're just passing through, to borrow words from the old hymn. But that is the practice and the mindset that we need to be developing, that yes, this isn't our home. And we shouldn't be so attached here. And that's hard because so many of us have really nice things and nice places and you know, beautiful views to look out and, you know, and we're proud of our house and, you know, and feel like Yahuwah has given us these things, but we also have to be willing to walk away from it all because it is just stuff.
Right. Yeah. I think all that is very, very pertinent and, important to remember that, at any moment, it can all be taken away because it's him that gives it to us. And it's interesting to see the whole world brought to its knees with something you can't even see.
Yeah.
It's, so I think it's interesting. Interesting times.
Yes, interesting times for sure. And I love how you participated with your children and made it fun and relevant. And I think sometimes that is missing in our movement. You know, people, I think it's important if you have small children to try to find ways to make it interesting. I know one time we took hyssop, I guess. I don't know if we used hyssop, but we probably used a paintbrush. But we did a banner over the door, and we painted it with red food coloring to simulate the blood on the doorpost. And I think those kinds of things are good. And we had the small children in our group participate in that. And, you know, I think that helps them remember. It makes it tangible and helps them to see this is a real thing people did. It's not just a fairy tale story that really happened.
Yeah. And anytime you can kind of make that come to life and make it show how it would be real, it's going to stick with the kids a lot better. Like today, we drove into town, and it's not very far, but you pass a number of houses, and we saw, my son and I, we saw two houses that had like a red scarf around their door, and you know, he got excited because we put a red scarf around our door. You know, we kind of live in the city and that kind of thing, and we put a red scarf around our door, and they enjoy that. And then I pointed out to him. He's like, "Oh, that's great. That's awesome." And he's like, "Make sure you point that out on the way back so I can see him again on the way back." And he's like, "They probably follow Yahweh." Mm. And he's funny. But yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But whenever they can relate it, it's going to stick.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, that sounds good. I hope we gave you some things to think about, and for sure pay attention to what's happening, and have your ears on. And I think especially what I hear, especially in this time of year, is to get the lev out. And, you know, no Jimmy Page here, but to get rid of the leaven and the noise, the background noise. There's so much background noise in our culture, our society, our world today, and we've got to purge ourselves from those and start desiring to listen to our Father more than these other things. And I think that's a good place to begin in on this journey. But anything else, Jake?
Yeah, real quick, we were having some matzah the other day, homemade matzah stuff, and we were eating it, and we're like, you know, this is good and all, but it's like, imagine eating just that for 40 years, and you can, you know, we like to harp on the Israelites for complaining about that. Oh, at least you had food. And you weren't starving. Yeah, I agree. But, man, to go with just that for that long, it would be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, some perspective, maybe.
Right. Mm-hmm. When the kids are like, "Hey, Ma, what's for dinner?" And, man.
Yeah.
Same thing as yesterday.
Yeah.
And maybe a little quail. So it's like, how many different combinations? I bet they got pretty clever with different combinations to come up with. And so
maybe
they probably did like a manna casserole. I don't know.
I don't know either. But that was all I had, really.
Yeah. All right. Well, we do appreciate you listening in. And thank you. Once again, we appreciate you taking time to tune in to Sabbath Lounge or Shabbat Lounge. And Jake, any last words?
Nope. That's all I got.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.